So grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I remember hearing a story some years ago. I don't remember when I heard this exactly, probably in someone else's sermon. But, you know, I learned one time all work and no plagiarism makes Jack a dull preacher. But the story goes something like this. It's about a young girl who was terrified in the middle of the night because of this huge thunderstorm going on outside. And she could see, you know, the lightning flashing through her windows and lighting up her room. And she could hear the loud, you know, peals of thunder that would shake the house. And she's scared. She was scared. And, of course, being a scared little girl, and at night, she yelled for her dad, and her dad came running into the room to comfort her. And in the midst of trying to comfort her, he told her, "Honey, you don't need to be afraid. God loves you, He's with you, and He will take care of you." And he started to go back to his room, but as the thunder clapped again, the frightened girl said, "Daddy, I know that God loves me and is always with me, but right now I need someone with skin on." And that's what Christmas is all about. Love with skin on it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Our Christmas Day reading is the Christmas story. The story of the incarnation, God with skin on. Though it's not the one that we, you know, might think about normally, there's no mention of Mary and Joseph or shepherds or wise men. Just the story of love coming down from heaven. The story of the light of the world entering into the darkness. The story of recreation, where there was once destruction. In the beginning, familiar words, I hope, when we hear those words in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. As I said, this is a story of recreation, a story of new creation. You know the story of the first creation, hopefully, those words in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Again, we hear those words, in the beginning. And He created man, and He breathed life into him. And there in this garden, God dwelled with His people. I don't exactly know what that looked like or what that experience was like, but I do know that it was perfection. It was perfection in paradise. God with us. But you also know the stories of the next couple chapters, the story of the fall, paradise lost, sin destroying that perfection, sin destroying that relationship with God. But though the sinfulness of man left us in an estate where we could no longer be in communion with God, He didn't scrap that creation and start over. He promised Christmas. There in the garden, He promised Christmas. He promised new creation. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That promise in the garden was a promise of this day that we celebrate. The promise of new creation and the promise that God and sinners would be reconciled. The promise that God would dwell with His people. In Genesis 3:15, God tells the devil, that ancient serpent, He tells the devil, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, meaning he will separate the serpent and the woman. Separate mankind from the evil one. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall strike your head and you shall strike his heel. It's the first gospel, the first promise of Christmas, the promise of that babe that would come from the woman and reverse the curse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. Think about that for a moment. What happens in creation, by the way, as we read through those first couple chapters of Genesis? How does God create the heavens and the earth and all of these things? We hear, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God's Word goes out, and it makes, it creates, it brings things into existence. In the beginning was the Word. That Word, that voice that spoke all things into existence, God himself who breathed life into man, that Word became flesh. The Word became incarnated. The Word of God with skin on it. And why? Well, you know the passage quite well, probably from John 3:16. It tells us the why. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Despite our darkness, despite our sin, despite the fact that we deserved punishment and death, our God loves us so much that he didn't leave us in it. He didn't abandon us to decay and destruction, but instead he stepped down into our decay and destruction. He stepped down into our darkness, or into our, you know, playpen, if you will, and he brought life and immortality to light. God becoming man. God dwelling with us. In 1 Kings 8, verse 27, there's this question asked as King Solomon dedicates the first temple, and King Solomon asks, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain him, how much less this house that I have built, speaking of the temple. And the answer came when God filled that temple with his glory. God dwelled with them in the temple. Well, this was only the beginning. There are interesting words that we hear in that gospel message that we read a little bit ago from John 1. Pastor Eric alluded to it a little bit last night in the Christmas Eve sermon. I keep repeating those words of John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But that word that we translate dwelt has a little more to it than we might get in our English translation. Dwelt is a perfectly fine translation, but there's a little more nuance to it. It's the word for, if you will, pitching a tent, setting up camp. And it's the same word that's used to refer to the tabernacle, the place where the people of Israel worshiped God, that was eventually replaced by the temple there in Jerusalem. Jesus, the God of the universe, set up camp. He pitched his tent. He tabernacled among us. That glory that once filled the temple in Jerusalem is no longer there. But rather, a temple made without hands was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And it had DNA and blood vessels and tissue and skin. God became man, a real historical person, body and soul, just like you and me, yet without sin. Solomon had asked, would God dwell on earth? The ultimate answer wasn't when that temple was filled with glory. It was when that Jesus set up camp among us, took up residence among us, when the love of God came down, when love put skin on. All glory and honor and praise and worship of God no longer belonged in some temple in Jerusalem. It belonged to this person made of flesh and bones. For a time, lying there in a manger in Bethlehem and eventually cradled by a cross on Golgotha, crushing the serpent's head and bringing forgiveness, life, and salvation to you and me. God with us and God for us. This is why Jesus says to the in the Gospels, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Here in this man, this Jesus, this baby born of Mary, here God dwells with skin on. Forever the God-man who brings to us restoration, recreation, new creation, new life. John tells us a different Christmas story than we might be used to, but it's just as important. You know, we have the Gospel of Matthew begins with these words, begins with this genealogy, and it says this is the genesis of Jesus. The genesis. Matthew has in mind that he's continuing the Old Testament and making a new genesis, if you will, by showing us the beginnings of Jesus. And John has kind of the same thing here in mind with a different take, but beginning with these words, in the beginning, showing us again this continuation through the new creation that comes in Jesus Christ. The mystery of God becoming man, the story of new creation, the story of paradise restored, God and man dwelling together. We couldn't come to him, but he came to us. And we have beheld his glory. We have beheld his glory as of the only Son of the Father. And we need not fear when God comes to us, because as we heard, he comes full of grace and truth. He's come out of love. He's come to save and deliver us, not to destroy us for our sin, but to rescue us, to pull us out of this darkness and bring us to light and life for all eternity. And as we heard, for those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He has made us his own. I want to finish with something as we think about God dwelling with us. And this message of Christmas is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of God who steps into our existence, steps into our darkness, shining the light to bring us salvation through his suffering and death. But we also know that ultimately we will dwell with God for all of eternity. That in the new creation, the dwelling place of God will be with man. He will be our God and we will be his people and we will live with him. Again, what that's going to look like, I don't know. But I do know that in the flesh, we will behold him. We will see God with skin on. And we, in our own skin, our own flesh and blood, will dwell with him and live with him. And Jesus is still with us now. You know, there was a thing that was said. I need to hurry this up. There's a thing that was said long ago that the finite cannot contain the infinite. Well, they were said that about communion. Christ can't be present in the Lord's Supper because the finite cannot contain the infinite. Let me tell you something. Christmas is proof that the finite can contain the infinite. For God put skin on and dwelt among us. Jesus is with us today as we hear his word, as we receive his gifts. And that's something. As we go into Holy Communion here now, as we celebrate this Christ Mass today, that we remember. We don't have to go back to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago and look for Jesus lying in a manger with hay. But rather, the manger, the cradle that holds Jesus today for us, is exactly what he has given to us, his word and his sacrament, where God dwells with his people, where he comes to us, and where he gives us new life, where he gives us his promise of grace and truth, his promise of salvation, where he comes and meets us and feeds us and nourishes us and gives us that foretaste of the feast to come that we will celebrate for all eternity in the flesh with God forever and ever. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen.